Good morning. If you have small children or not so small children that you want to send down to children's worship, Allison and my kids are headed down right now for that. I think he needs a couple more years. Because giving him to Allison, I'm sure you'd get him back eventually, but... So, today we are talking about Matthew 6:11. Give us today our daily bread. This ought to be a short lesson, right? No. So, one of Allison's books that she's read, not recently anymore, but in the not too distant past, is called Salt, A World History. And she really loves this book. I mean, so much so that we were at a training for the homeschool group that we do, and we were talking about the salt trade was one of the things that we read an article about, and Allison's like, oh, you have to read this book. It was just an exercise to talk about how to build a lesson. But so today, we're not talking about a world history of salt, but we're going to talk a little bit about the history of bread in Scripture. Because when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, that's a lot of information right there. I mean, when you think about it, Melchizedek comes out, the king of Salem, and he meets, who does he meet? He meets Abraham, and he gives honor to Abraham by giving him bread and wine. So this priest of the Most High God honors Abraham with a gift of bread. Abraham, in return, as he is being told about the coming birth of Isaac, and this is the time where Sarah is going to laugh and Isaac is going to be Isaac, they give bread to the men who have come to give this news. This is also the same meeting. I continually forget this. This is the same meeting. After they've found out that Isaac is coming, they find out that these men, these angels, are going down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The same conversation, bread there. Joseph, when he sends for his father, sends his brothers back from Egypt. Genesis 45 says, and this is what he sent to his father, 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Bread is everywhere through the scriptures. In Exodus, manna. What is that? We tend to think of it as bread. If you do a little bit of study, there's some discussion that it could actually be like the dried sap of a tree, a shrub that actually occurs in Sinai. I can see that. I mean, God brought quail, which were a natural thing, so maybe he also provided manna, which was a natural thing. But we continually think of it as bread when we talk about it in Scripture. Now, this example of bread is important in Jesus' teaching. In Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. What were his instructions? Only enough for one day. Otherwise, you're going to get up in the morning and that is going to be disgusting. Yeah. So, again, in Exodus 25, verse 30, we're talking about the tabernacle and the parts and pieces of the tabernacle. And one of the important parts of the tabernacle is the bread of the presence, which sits on a table before God at all times. In Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That sound familiar? I think I've heard that somewhere in the New Testament. The manna and the water that comes from the rocks was a gift from God, and it was a promise, and it was a test. All three of those things in one. And when we look at "Give us today our daily bread," we can see all of those aspects in the same place. In 1 Samuel, so Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. So this is when David goes and visits his brothers who are off to fight a war and encounters Goliath. He takes bread for his brothers and for Saul. Guesses on who that is? Everybody's going, Elijah, Elisha, Elijah, Elisha. It's Elijah. So Elijah, in the lower right picture there, is with the widow. Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. Prior to that, Elijah is in the wilderness and being fed by ravens. And what are they bringing him? They're bringing him bread. Meat too, but bread. This one's kind of tricky. You got to look at it. There's three friends there and a wife. Yeah, it's Job. In Job 23, I'm actually going to jump there, I think. Because I only did short snippets in my notes. Job 23. I guess Cliff is rubbing off on me because I can't just do one verse. Yes, Mary, it is. So Job chapter 23. I have down verse 12. Let's go and, well, let's just go all the way back to, then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No, he would not press charges against me. There an upright man could present his case before him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decree against me, and many such plans he still has in store. That is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." Job is in complete distress and yet is not turning his face from God and is treasuring God's word more than the food that he might have. In Job 31, verse 17, go back to 16. If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I have reared him as would a father, and from my birth I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing, or a needy man without a garment, and his heart did not bless me for warming him with the fleece from my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, knowing that I had influence in court, then let my arm fall from the shoulder, let it be broken off at the joint. For I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of his splendor, I could not do such things. Job sees the sharing of his bread and all of the material blessings that he has as spiritual worship and as a duty to this God that he reveres and respects and fears. Now, don't get it wrong. It's not always good stuff that has to do with bread. I mean, Jacob gives Esau some bread and lentil stew, and he eats and drank and then got up and left, so Esau despised his birthright. And then Jacob's mother helps him to fool his father, sending him in with stew and bread. In Matthew 26, Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." Now, that doesn't specifically say bread, so how can I do that? In a lot of cultures, specifically in Albania, the idea of eating is always accompanied by bread. The literal thing that you say to people most of the time if you're going to have a meal with them and they're at your home is "leta hambuk," let us eat bread. It's the same idea as breaking bread. The history of the human race binds bread with food. It binds it with companionship, with being a host, with welcoming people into your home. And Jesus uses this example at the same time, breaking bread with the person who would betray him. Now, Jesus then also says, "I am the bread of life." It's not just physical bread that we're talking about here, because Jesus is not offering us physical bread. I believe that God will care for us and he will give us what we need. But I think one of the things that we need to realize is that what we need and what we want are very often two different things. When we look at our homes here in the United States and see what we have, even those of us who may not have very much have so much more than many around the world. It's hard for us to see that and to accept that if we are not in the upper class or the upper middle class. It's hard for us to accept that I am blessed by what looks like poverty in the country that I live in. But I assure you, running water and a roof over your head make you very rich in many places. So, as Jesus shares this, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. and I will raise him up at the last day. And of course, the Jews start to complain and grumble. How can he say that I'm the bread that came down from heaven? Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? And now Jesus ups the ante. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And now the Jews try to figure out how this man can give his flesh for people to eat. It's something that we have to wrestle with as well. There's no possible way for us to partake in the physical flesh of Christ any longer. So the flesh that we take part in is the communion and our fellowship with each other. Jesus has promised bread that does not spoil, bread that will sustain us. I submit to you that while he was here on this earth, that bread, of course, was him. But now, as we gather and worship together, that bread becomes his living body, his church. We sustain each other. We lift each other up. We encourage each other. We have become that bread of life if we will allow him to use us to do that. I've watched as Scott Saunders has stepped up and redone the youth room and started teaching a class down there. If you didn't know that's happening, that's on my shoulders. But this is the second week that Scott's been down there. So if you have teens, bring them next week. Get them here. Send them downstairs. Because Scott is being the bread of life for those kids. We have people throughout this congregation that do things seen and unseen, bringing life to others. Now, Psalm 136 Psalm 136 is a beautiful psalm. We're not going to, we got three verses out of it, but we're going to, if you grab a pew Bible or if you have a Bible with you, go ahead and pull it out, because we're going to look at the whole thing. In the pew Bibles, it's on page 608. Psalm 136. Now, we're going to look at this and we're going to ask ourselves how this relates to the bread that we're talking about here, the bread of life. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. Let's look at that. Up to that point right there, the firstborn of Egypt, that's the creation story. In John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." As God creates, Jesus creates alongside of him. This story that is told in Psalm 136 is Jesus' story. "And brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever." Verse 12, "With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, lost in sin, separated from his presence, unable to come to him and ask for his blessings, and freed us from our enemies, sin, death, true fear. His love endures forever. And who gives food to every creature, true bread from heaven. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Now, when Jesus claims, "I am the bread of life," again, he is claiming to be God. He is claiming his rightful place. And he is telling people, not only am I the bread of life, but I am the God who has provided that bread from the beginning. As a family, we have the ability to provide for each other, to lift each other up. And that's an amazing thing. It's been a blessing to me to be here at Southside and to watch as different people have served in ways that lift others up. Too many of you to count. The one that's impacted me the most this year is Mari and Rocio, and the lack of them being in the kitchen during the senior banquet this year. The amount of work that those two ladies have put into serving in that meal and providing that bread in every sense of the word has been amazing. And there are so many others who do the same things that go unseen. And in a lot of ways, that's good. That's how it should be. We shouldn't be tooting our own horns and saying, "Look what I'm doing." But at the same time, if no one ever knows the good that is done, it's easy to lose heart. So I encourage you, even though I know, Tony, I felt when I saw your board, I was like, "Oh, how can I write down the good things that I've done and put it up there?" But that's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful encouragement for others to see that there is service being done by this body. Service that we don't see. I don't think that it's, I hope that those of us who put things up and say, "These are things that I have done in service," I hope that it is done to encourage others, to show them how beautiful it is when we serve each other and the community around us. It's not about patting ourselves on the back. It's about telling somebody else, "You can do this too." You can be Jesus for someone. You can be the bread of life for someone who needs to hear that they can be saved. So I encourage you, do those good acts. Write one or two of them down and put them on the board. But do more than one or two. It's okay if we know what the right hand is doing sometimes. We just don't want it to be all the time, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. So as you go into the community today and for the remainder of this week, think about how you can be the bread of life for someone else in your life. How can you serve them? How can you encourage them? How can you clothe them, feed them, bring them one step closer to God? Because that's what having our daily bread is all about. It's about being filled with the Spirit so full that we cannot hold it in. We cannot keep it to ourselves, because we know that if we keep it to ourselves and don't share it with someone who is lost, we are condemning them. Share your story. Pray to lose the fear that you have of rejection, of humiliation, whatever it is that stops you from sharing the gospel with someone that you meet in the elevator. Pray to lose all of those things so that you can say, "Do you know Jesus?" And if they say no, that you can share that with them. Because that's how much we should love him. That's how committed we should be to serving him. We shouldn't be able to keep it to ourselves. Jesus has promised us that we'll have a helper, and I believe that we do. I believe that each of us who has put on Christ in baptism has that Spirit living inside of us. I believe that God still works today. And I think that we all need to live believing that. So if you are a member of this body and you are hurting, you are needing prayer, and you are feeling lost and lonely, let us know, because you shouldn't feel that way. This body has so much love that there is no reason that we should allow someone to feel that disconnect. If you are not a part of Christ's body and you want to know more about him, come and find me, come and find Troy or Ken. Find anyone in this auditorium and ask them. We want you to know God. We want you to be a part of this family. And this family isn't just here. It's in buildings and homes around this world. And that is the bread that still lives today, the body of Christ, his church. And it is an open offer to anyone who wants to become a part of it. If you need prayers, if you want to know Christ better, please come and let us know as we stand and sing together.